Morning.
Morning.
Our first song will be number 804. 804. I've a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band, just over in the glory land.
Let us go to God in prayer. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father who art in heaven, we humbly bow to you this morning, Father. First and foremost, Father, thanking you for another day of life. Thanking you for rising us up out of our beds this morning, Father, allowing us to get dressed and come here, Father, to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we want to thank you so much for being the head of our lives, O Lord, and guiding us, Lord, through this life. Father, we want to take this opportunity, Father, also to thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who walked this earth, Father, so many years ago, died on the cross for remission of our sins, Lord, that we may one day have everlasting life. Father, we just want to thank you, God, just for being once and for being for who you are, oh Lord. God, we want to take this time out, Father, also ask you to bless those, Father, who were mentioned this morning, who are sick, Father, who are bereaved, oh Lord, that you will comfort them, Father. Keep your ever-loving arms around them, oh Lord. We ask this, Father's name, in the name of Jesus. Father, we also ask at this time, Father, that you will bless the remainder of this service, O Lord, that we do things that are decent and in order and pleasing unto you, O Lord. God, we ask at this time that you will also bless the leadership of this congregation, Father, that you will guide them, Father, in the way that you will have them go, Father, that they will go in the way that you will have them lead them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we also ask that you bless Brother Skippy, O Lord, that he have a ready recollection of the things that he has studied, Father, that the things that he has studied will bring someone who is in our audience today closer to thee. Father, we also ask the Father that you keep the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding, O Lord, of your word in our hearts, God, for us to understand that the things and the circumstances that we're going through in this life, Father, are only temporary, O God, that if we keep our eyes focused on thee, Father, that one day we will have everlasting life. Father, we also ask, Father, that you bless this nation, O God, and bless the leaders of this nation, that they do the things, Father, that you put in their hearts, Father, to do things that are right, O God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask at this time also that you forgive us of our sins, both known and unknown, Father. The Father, again, that we stay close to you, Father, that you continue to guide us. Father, we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
For the Lord's Supper, we'll sing number 361. 361.
We are gathered this morning to remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and that great sacrifice that he made on our behalf. Let's go to God now, thanking him for that sacrifice before we take of the emblems. Dear Father, we thank you for this day that we can gather together in peace, that we can gather together to remember Christ Jesus. who voluntarily gave up his life that we might have an abundant life. Be with us as we partake of this bread, dear Father, that we remember that the true bread of life is spiritual, and that Christ is that spirit as he was a real body. For we ask it in Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Let us bow and give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Most kind and righteous Father, we're so grateful and so humble to know that we had a Savior that was sinless, and that he came into the world and he loved us so much that he went to the cross and shed his precious blood that cleansed us from all unrighteousness. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
If we've overlooked any Christian who wishes to be served, please raise a hand. Seeing no hands raised, we'll move on to another part of our worship service, that of giving. Let's give thanks to God for this opportunity. Dear Father, as we search your hearts this day, help us to realize that where a treasure is, there is our heart. Help us also, dear Father, to remember that not only the sacrifices that you and your Son have made for us, but help us to look at the bounty that you have given us. Help us to realize that the work here on earth has been allotted to us. Help us, dear Father, that we will give back a portion of the goods that you have given us, that the work may continue, that the gospel may grow. For we ask this in Christ Jesus' name, amen.
906 will be the song of invitation this morning. 906. And before the lesson, we'll sing number 521. 521. Let us stand as we sing this song. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I.
Scripture reading this morning before for the lesson would be taken from Exodus chapter 13, Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 and 18. Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 and 18. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God let them out through the way of the land of the Philistines. Although that was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Let's skip.
I want to say good morning. Truly God has once again been good to us. He spared our lives just one more time to be able to come to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see those who are here this morning, and if you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guest. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service. We just pray and hope that your stay will be a pleasant and profitable stay with us today. I just want to thank Brother Ken for fitting in on last week. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Eternal Heavenly Father, Lord, we again thank you for this day and for your blessings and this opportunity you've given us to assemble ourselves together again this morning. Thank you, Lord, for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And now, Father, as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word and what it has to say to us in our situation. Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we've fallen short of. Lord, just give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide me your word, the things that I say, Lord. You get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we was traveling on last week, we ran across a lot of detour signs. In our spiritual life, we have detour signs that we come across in our lives. But what is God's involvement in the detours of life? When you look at Exodus 13 and verse 17 and 18, it was read in our hearing. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Detours are God's plan. None of us really like detours. When we want to get somewhere, we want to get there. And we don't want to be bothered with this detour stuff. But then something else that I found out, we usually are more upset and nervous when we're traveling in new territory and the detour sign appear right over the hill. We are not prepared for this kind of delay. We don't like trouble. We don't like our plans all messed up. We don't like annoying inconvenience. But how many of us would like to run upon a washed out bridge or a dead end road and not know it? So the detours are there for our protection. And so what can we learn about detours? What about the detours of life? What happens when we are moving along in life and all of a sudden God puts up a detour sign? Are they there to annoy us? Are they there to inconvenience us? Or are they there for God to provide and to protect us? God speaks to us, if you will, through our circumstances. And one of the circumstances of life that you and I can expect is the detour sign. Are there any detour signs in your life? Are you on a detour right now? While there are many things about detours that we cannot control, we have the ability to control our perspective by choosing to look at where God is taking us and not where he has taken us from. And so we need to understand how you manage, how you mismanage these detours will have everything to do with your future. How you respond to the detours can determine how long we stay on that detour. Whatever path you have trod, God can and will use it for good. If you let him, if you learn how to move past your past, because a bad past doesn't have to deny your future. And so I want us this morning just to look at some truths about detours, and that may help us when we top the hill of life. And this sign that says detour, 1 mile ahead. And it may even help us to accept these detours a little better. So number one, what is a detour? What is a detour? And so as we look at this, a detour is an unexpected event that changes the course of your life. Detours are distractions from the original intended route that we had planned. When we get in our cars, we usually have a destination in mind. And typically we know how we plan to get there, to include the roads, to include the highways we intend to take along the way. But on many occasions, we run into detours, things that take us off the pre-planned route that we had determined to use to get where we hope to go. Detours are typically unexpected and inconvenient. Perhaps a police officer redirects traffic down a different road, or a fellow driver flags us down to help with their broken vehicle. They take us off our intended route, and as such, it takes us longer than we have planned to get to our final destination. Detours can slow us down. And I want you to consider the following traffic control devices and think about how you respond to them. Reduce speed ahead. No right on red. Yield. No parking zone. Dead end, detour, red lights, stop signs. Now think about all of these signs. Each one of them in one way or another causes us to slow down on our journey. And we don't like slowing down. Amen, I know some of y'all can speed. We don't like slowing down. We don't like things that hinder, things that changes our plan to use the most direct route possible. Detours involve counseling of the known and moving into the unknown. Detours are put up by relevant authority because some danger or obstruction is ahead. And so God gives us detours for the very same reason. But listen, many times he doesn't usually bother to tell us why. But when you look at our text this morning, in our text we are told the reason for their detour. And basically God says that the Jews are not ready for a fight. They would turn back. They would return to Egypt at the first sign of trouble. So the detour was to save them some trouble and to keep them on God's path. And so, what are some things about detours? Detours, secondly, are a course correction that God uses to keep us on the right path. Not our path, but the right path. We want to get from A to B. And God wants us to get from here to the crucified life, the life of holiness, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3 and verse 14. That is the path that God is concerned with. Not the path to a physical location, but a path to keep us walking with Him. And so God has a destiny for our lives. And since He has a destiny for our lives, and how He gets you there is seldomly a straightforward process. He seldom takes us from A to B without causing us to make a stop at G, I, and K along the way. And so He frequently take us on detours or delay in our journey toward His plan so that He might mature us for what is to come, so that He might prepare for us a place in which we will eventually arrive. We might spend a great deal of time on these detours. And sometimes we experience delays and even setbacks that seem bad on the surface, but are the means by which God works things out in His providential care. Because in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, we know that scripture, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. In other words, God take us on detours to prepare us for the thing that He has in store for us in the future. But then, detours send us on an unfamiliar route and require that we trust the sign maker. When we are traveling away from home and we come to a detour, it usually sends us in a direction we know nothing about. Detours require us to pay strict attention and keep looking for the signs on the way that we should go. See, one of the blessings about detours is that they help us to be very diligent about seeking God and His direction for our lives. Sometimes God will delay your destiny to bring you to a place where you have more than you can handle, compelling you to totally rely on Him and to give Him the glory and the honor. Events happen in our lives that can knock the wind out of you. Detours happen that can knock you off your feet, that can even rattle your cage, so to speak, and send your mind reeling. You get a bad diagnosis. You get a pink slip on divorce papers, or somebody has passed away, and what happens in those times causes our life compass neither to spin out of control. So much we're wondering which way is up. We move in the uncharted territory, and we are not sure of where we are going. And just like people trust the detour route signs, we have to trust God to lead us. And He will. And just like the real highways, you may not get a sign from God every 50 feet in all, but know this, God knows where He's going. Know this, God knows where He wants to take you. That's why Proverbs 3 and verse 6 says, if we acknowledge Him in all our ways, He will direct our paths. So God uses detours as a part of His designs of our lives. You remember Moses? Moses is on a detour in the wilderness for 40 years in Numbers 32 and verse 13. You remember Abraham? Abraham was on a detour for 25 years while he waits for God to give him an heir. Genesis 12, 1 through 4, Genesis 21, verse number 1 through 8. You remember Joseph? Joseph spends 13 years on a detour, enduring slavery and prison before entering Pharaoh's service. Genesis 37, verse number 1 and 2, and Genesis 41 and verse 46. You remember the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul, he goes on a three-year detour in the Arabian desert and Damascus, waiting for his ministry to resume. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15 through 18. And just like these biblical figures, God takes us on detours to develop His purpose for maturing us and equipping us. Well, why would He do that? Why would He spend all of this time trying to mature us and equip us? Well, understand this, because eventually what God will do is that God will give you other people who are suffering similar to what you are going through so that you can minister to their needs. And so we understand that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3 and 4, notice what he said, blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Watch this, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation. Why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And so God places others in your life who are going through similar struggles and detours so that He might prepare you for the service in His kingdom. And so He uses other people. He uses their problems to help you focus on them, selflessness, and not on you, selfish. Did y'all catch that? And so in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 through 5, notice what he said. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so if you delay in helping those whom the Lord has placed in your keep, you will also be delaying your own destiny. And often it's through selfless ministry, when you provide a blessing to others, that the Lord is able to then bless you. And so, what is our job? Our job is to encourage those who struggle with difficult circumstances by helping them identify the Lord's hand in the midst of the storms. But then detours involves a time delay. It's important, church, that we don't let impatience move us off the route God has chosen. We need to remind ourselves from the passage, when you look at Exodus, that the shortest trip was also the shortest trip to trouble. We don't do delays very well. We prefer to get to the end zone as soon as possible. Patience may be a virtue, but we want to avoid it at all costs. But sometimes in life, church, the best course is just to slow ourselves down. Be still and know who God is. Psalm 46 and verse 10. I've seen people, we're traveling, man, they come around you 100 miles an hour, but then they're the stop like they have to stop. And we have caught up with them. In such a hurry, slow down. Learn to slow down and live life like God would have us to live life. And then detour involves a longer trip. In verse 13, chapter 13 and verse 18, but God led them through the way of the Red Sea. Because when you look at verse 17, God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistine, although it was near. God took them a long way around. See, you can see a shorter route just beyond the sign, but are denied access to it, and it can get frustrating. But God always have a reason for detours. And then finally, detours involve routes that seems to go in the wrong direction. You know, our internal GPS has a hard time dealing with detours. How many of you in here have ever had an argument with your GPS? I know I have. You know, I even yell at the GPS, knowing that it was a machine, because I wanted to go one way, and it knew ahead that I needed to take another way. But I argued with it. Sometimes we are the GPS arguing with God. God already knows where he want to take us. And sometime God will take us a long way around. But we argue with God, saying, no, this is the shortest way. I know where I'm going. And sometime God says, okay, go ahead. And then you find yourself in trouble when God was trying to lead you away from the trouble. We got to learn how to listen to God. Listen. Listen to our spiritual GPS. We read that in Proverbs 3 and verse 6, because he will direct our path. Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not himself. It is not in man who walketh to direct his own steps. Church, detours are there for a reason. When things get better and we feel we are on a detour, the question that shouldn't be asked, the question that shouldn't be asked is, why am I going through this? But the question that should be asked is, Lord, how do you want to use this for my destiny? Listen, it's time. It's time for Christians to stop fearing hardships, disappointments, misunderstandings as a major roadblock in their lives, and start looking at them as detours to greater opportunities and greater blessing in life. I want to say this as I close. The detour you may today be fussing about might just be God's answer to your prayer for Christ's likeness. Your detours are simply God's perfect plan to get you exactly where he wants you to be. He knows. He knows the way to your destiny. But the question is, do you trust him enough? Do you trust him enough to allow him to lead you where he wants you to go? Even if it doesn't make sense, even if it's going a long way around, do you trust him enough to let him lead you where he wants you to go? If you're here this morning, not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you heard the word, believe it to be true, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. You must be willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. You got to be willing to confess Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10:32-33. And then you got to be willing to go down in that watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. Baptism is a burial. It's going down in the water. When you come up out of that water, then you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then the Lord adds you to his church. Acts 2:47. What church? The church he set up on this rock I build, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What church? The church that he purchased with his own precious blood. What church? The church he's the head of, he died for, he loved it, he's coming back for it. Not going to have any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it's going to be holy and without blemish. Then you got to live faithfully. And as you're living this life, you're going to go through some detours in your life. But now you got somebody on your side that can help you, that can guide you along the detours of life. If you're in a Christian, not been living as a Christian should, maybe you've been trying to do it on your own, now is the time to stop and say, today, Lord, I want you to direct my life. I've been trying to direct my own life, and I've been messing up. But, Lord, from this day forward, I trust you. I trust you to lead me wherever you want me to go. The choice is yours, and we stand and sing the song. of invitation.
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the table now is spread. Ye famishing, ye weary, come, and thou shalt be richly fed. Give the invitation.
Stronger servants unto you. At this time, we also ask that you watch over the people who are sick and the people who are traveling, and bring them back safely at our next appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.